Today is July 29th, 2009. I'm Stephanie, and this is Joan.
Hi, I'm Joan.
And we're here with Kathy Melmoth. Is that how you say it?
That's right.
And what is your business here at the market, Kathy?
Well, I've gone through like three different kinds of crops.
Oh, yeah?
In 1988, I started with organic vegetables.
And that was the first year you were here, 1988?
That was the first year, yeah. And we started in the Ypsilanti market and then moved to the Ann Arbor market. And we brought things that first year that I don't see too many of at the market, like all the different colored beets and elephant garlic, things like that. And now it's pretty commonplace to see all that.
Was organic also not that commonplace then?
Well, no. Ken from King. Frog Holler, Ken and Kathy King, they were organic, and they gave me a lot of advice, too. Then we had a hard time finding a farm. We looked for 10 years trying to find a farm. Up to then, we had rented ground.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I went out on a day off to look for a farm, the price would go up like $10,000 on land, you know. So one of the vendors here was from Hillsdale County, and she said, why don't you go down there? You know, there's land that's cheaper. Well, I hated to leave this area, but, and I... Three times I drove down to Hillsdale and turned around halfway down, came back and said, that's way too far. But we found, somebody told us about an 80-acre farm that was only $75,000, and it had a big old-fashioned hay barn and real good land, and so we bought it.
And that was in Hillsdale County?
That was in Hillsdale County, yeah.
And is that where you are now?
Yeah, Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. Michigan.
Have you been happy then?
I have been. Mm-hmm. I will say that... one of the challenges of the future, and the challenge for me is the distance. But if we want sustainable food, we've got to figure out a way to keep farmers closer to home. Ann Arbor's doing a good job, actually, trying to do that. But small vegetable growers still hasn't quite made it on the agenda of the, you know, they usually look for bigger plots of land to save. In order to make the trips pay, because you know you only have a truck and you only have a small space, and they want family farmers who are making more or less making their living at it, we switched to cut flowers.
Oh.
Because a lot of people really wanted cut flowers. And so we used to grow almost only cut flowers and then winter squash, you know, which fit into that, you know, you could leave the winter squash till the end and bring that when the cut flowers stop.
Mm-hmm.
So we went from cut flowers to perennial plants because we're getting older. It's hard to find help, and you know, you pick every flower one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So now we do a little bit of everything: perennial plants, a few cut flowers, and still the winter squash and garlic when I can get it to grow right, and shallots.
Now, do you have greenhouses, or are you?
Yeah, we have, it's a farm, but one of the things we've done over the years is we started in the beginning with our 80 acres as trying to cultivate most of the 80 acres. Well, soon you realize that two or three people don't need 80 acres. So we built a greenhouse, and then we built a second greenhouse, and my husband, who was laid off as a designer, Dave Melmoth, he could design anything. He used to work for like KMS Fusion in Ann Arbor. Well, he eventually lost his job during the early 80s. He was 50, couldn't get another one. So he came in with me, and he designed all my greenhouses, hand-built every one of them.
Wow, great.
Yeah, so we hand-built them all. And we were able to design perennial greenhouses where the, you know, the sides came down, and it provided a lot of cool. But it was as we get older, it gets harder.
Mm-hmm.
So we also became more conscious of the environment. And somebody at a little county fair had a little list saying, would you like to restore wetlands? So we signed up. Yeah, you know, we didn't know what we were getting into. But 3 years later, this guy from the Fish and Wildlife comes out, and he said, would you like to be part of our partners program? It's free if you leave your land in wetlands for 10 years. So we actually took part in that, and we restored three wetlands.
Were they already wetlands?
Well, originally, much of Michigan was wet. It was a beautiful wet area. And in order to farm it, they had to drain the land. So they put field tile in, which are these, look like sewer systems underneath the ground. So most of this area is what they call tiled, or they have these big pipes that drain the water off. And now they found they needed more wetlands because so much of it has been drained. So one of the neatest things we ever did on our farm was restore the wetlands. I would say within hours, we saw ducks and birds. And part of the wetlands, you know, around the wetlands, you have something called uplands. And so, you know, it's not wet, but it's left wild. And so eventually, we took a lot of land out of cultivation and put it into wetlands, which we found you could grow wetland crops in and sell at market.
Like what?
So one of the big things we grow is something called winterberry, which is our native shrub that goes in the swamps that has these beautiful red berries. Well, I didn't grow them quite in the wetlands. I grew them just above the wetlands, but they could still manage to get a lot of moisture from them. And, of course, that attracted cedar waxwings and all kinds of bluebirds. And so we began slowly farming with the wild. Eventually, we restored more habitat and got into a permanent program called the Wetland Reserve Program. So the government bought 20 acres of our land. At that time, it was whatever the value was in 1998, or no, maybe 2000. And I think it was like $1,000 an acre or something. And so now, at least 20 acres is protected forever.
Fantastic.
Whatever forever is. Yeah, and so eventually we began to grow habitat, as I always tell people. But you know, habitat provides a lot of, well, now we have pawpaws.
Pawpaws, really?
Yeah, and we don't have enough to sell, but we're planting pawpaws. And
what are pawpaws?
They're a wonderful native Michigan small tree that has these green fruits called, locally they call them Michigan banana. You find them pawpaw Michigan, usually along the river systems, and they grow as far north as Saginaw area, roughly. And but they grow as an orchard too. You could grow them as an orchard crop, and they grow in Ann Arbor. There's a couple people in Ann Arbor bring me pawpaws every year. They taste wonderful. They have big seeds, but they taste like cross between custard and a mango, something like that.
And people make wine on them.
They make wine. Zingerman's Deli made ice cream out of pawpaws.
Oh.
Somebody brought me a little sample, and of course we had to go buy some. But so you could grow a lot of wild crops if you wanted to. We're not that sophisticated yet, but I grow the trees and I bring them and sell them at market.
Oh, is that right? Oh,
yeah,
great.
So you sell the lilac bushes and over there? Is
not
that
anymore. That's Dave Barkman. I'm over here. I sell a lot of the perennial plants over there, and little small trees. You know, mine are pretty. They take a long time to grow. They take about 3 years to get to a saleable size. So we've kind of gone from organic vegetables to flowers, to perennial plants, and now a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
It took us 13 years to get our first permanent stall in this market.
Is that right?
Yeah, because people stay a long time, you know.
Yeah.
That is one of the problems. It just didn't expand very rapidly, this market, and I'm hoping it'll expand faster in the future to allow more farmers to really have permanent spots.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then I think we got our third stall finally 2 years ago. No, last year.
Wow.
So it took almost 20 years to get three spaces, you know. And so I'm very interested in truly local, sustainable food. And thank goodness that's popular these days. And I think it can be done. I think you need more farmers markets, you know, even in this city. And I think you need young growers, and you're finally getting that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had nothing but good experiences here. One of the things you learn rapidly when you sell at a farmer's market is the customers are extremely loyal. They go through all kinds of crazy stuff to come down here. They don't have parking. They don't, you know, they have to carry their purchases a long way. They get tickets. When they came in for a box of beans and they have a $15 ticket. And most of the time they're in good humor about it, although I don't blame them for being upset. But they are so committed to buying from the grower.
Mm-hmm.
And that's made all the difference. You know, so And Ann Arbor has sort of made a wonderful place. They've supported the market for many, many, many years. And that it's kind of a reciprocal relationship. I think the farmers have brought Carytown and downtown some added business, but something that you can't get anywhere else. And the urban areas are super critical to the rural areas. You know, I cannot sell these vegetables in a rural area.
Mm-hmm. Most there's people, not enough traffic to make
there's
it.
There's not enough traffic. And there's also the income level is so much lower. And I'm telling people it's not people who have a lot more money that come to this market. Those that do go somewhere else. It's that people are more committed to buying local.
Mm-hmm.
And that commitment hasn't filtered into the rural area I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And then lately, in the last 10 years, we've had to deal with what I call factory farms, the big livestock facilities that have moved in. I don't know if you want to hear this.
No, go ahead.
Are there some down in Hillsdale?
Oh, there's many down in Hillsdale.
Really?
And we have a huge farmer from, part of his family's from the Netherlands, part of it's here, that has been bringing other farmers from other countries as well as locally, and basically setting up these huge livestock factories. They're called CAFOs.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of my job the last 10 years has been trying to restrict the pollution, the air pollution and water pollution from these factory farms and raise awareness. And so I've been trying to tell people that every time you buy from a small farmer anywhere in Michigan, you basically keep them at bay a little
That's
bit.
That's right. It's a vote for doing
right,
it the right,
right
way.
And believe me, if anybody ever wants to know how awful it is living next to the other way, I can tell them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real struggle going on in Michigan right now, trying to maintain enough land for the small farmers, trying to make it so they can pay, you know, what they need to pay in health care. Like, we've always paid our own health care.
Mm-hmm.
And now the costs are getting to the point where we don't know from year to year whether we'll be able to continue.
Mm.
So that's not trying to make anybody feel bad. It's just a reality with all small businesses.
That's right.
And so there needs to be a few structural changes in order to continue to have people who make their living farming on the market.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, Ann Arbor's been very supportive all these years, and I've always been real grateful to the city for that.
Yeah. Well, I feel so grateful to hear your story and know what you are doing to help us keep the bad decisions at bay and create sustainable small farming opportunities.
Well, it's slow and it's painfully slow, but one of the things that's happened at Michigan State University is that they have started a sustainable program. However, the old-fashioned commodities, factory farming programs have gained a huge foothold in our land-grant universities because they're the ones funding the research. Ever since Michigan and a lot of other states...
Like the drug companies funding the research
of
the FDA.
Well, Michigan and a lot of other states have backed off on the public funding of our universities.
Right.
And so what's private is the huge conglomerates
right, that's
and the huge
factories.
And they're filling in those.
Right. And unfortunately, the professors are very pressured not to even say anything about the fact that they don't have enough funding for sustainable agriculture.
Mm.
But Michigan State has made a small start, and they are looking for a cohort of traditional farmers, you know, to support that program, or they will be glad to support the traditional farmers. And so they're making us a little bit of headway there, but a whole lot more needs to be done at our land-grant universities. And so the more we can get the word out about that, the better.
Kathy, I'm just so impressed by, you know, your dedication to these things.
Well, I'm a registered nurse. I never gave up my license. I continue to renew it and take the classes and stuff. But I always felt that good food was really an integral part of people's
mm-hmm.
health.
Mm-hmm.
And I like working outside, so I got lucky. I had a husband who supported my decision, and then
that's
he came
great.
In with
me.
Yeah. So, well, good
luck
with your
project. Good flowers are good for our health, too.
That's true.
So.
Our mental health.
They really
well,
are.
Thank you you for coming and talking with us about that.
Right.
I'd love to visit your wetland sometime.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm over there in Booth 42. You can always find me. One of the other things that happened with that, though, is I became interested in native plants because of the students that went to the School of Natural Resources at Michigan. They would come down and talk to me about Michigan native plants and why didn't I grow them and would I like to grow them and stuff like that. And I learned a lot. And bless the native plant nursery. I hope we have him on interview. They taught me a lot. Mm-hmm. So we're doing more perennial natives.
Oh, good.
So,
good.
There's a lot of cross-pollination.
Yeah, learning from each other.
Oh, absolutely.
Producers and customers.
Exactly.
And producers.
It's an amazing cross-pollination. It's amazing synergism and reciprocity all the way around. Yeah.
That's a great thing to know.
That's what Grandma said from Grandma's kitchen. That people here are so kind, the vendors to each other and covering for each other and just,
yeah. And then we learn from each other. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's been, and I'd say that whole process has matured in the last few years. Mm-hmm. I should say we've had wonderful market managers. Wonderful market managers. And each one's brought something to this market.
Mm-hmm.
From stability to new ideas. And that's been really important too. And again, the city has supported the hiring of real good market managers.
That's a good thing to know.
Yeah.
That's a lovely thing. And I predict that your wonderful interview will go down in history and someone will be saying, look where this started and now look where we are.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I hope it's true to somebody.
Thank you for sharing your story,
Thank
Kathy.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.